So I slightly gave it away in the prayer then, but how can we have a genuine experience of God? How can I feel connected to God emotionally, intellectually, spiritually? How is it possible to have that feeling? These are key questions for all of us. They reveal actually a longing that's deep inside everybody. If, for instance, you're investigating the Christian faith, you're not sure if it's true, if you're looking into the evidence about Jesus, maybe you're thinking, well, if only I could see God, then I'd believe. You're looking for a clear, visible, undeniable vision of God that will convince you he's real. That's what I need to believe. I could see God. But of course, it's not just those who are searching for answers, thinking Christianity might be it. It's also, this is a desire, a need that we feel is for, within Christians. We're looking for a genuine Christian experience, a deeper Christian experience, a more emotional Christian experience. Even those who've been Christians for a very long time, with the feeling that we'd love to see God face to face. Yes, we know that God's promised that that will happen when Jesus returns. We've got that in our future, that we will physically be with God for eternity. But now, in this life, today even, we'd love to experience God in a deeper way. Why can't God reveal himself to us now? And that's exactly what Philip is asking in verse 8. If you look down there, what page number was it?
1082.
In verse 8 there, Philip's question is exactly that. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Now remember, Philip, he's been with Jesus for 3 years. He's heard what he said, he'd seen what he did, and now he wants a vision of God the Father. You know, if they could see him, then everything would be all right. Then they'd understand, then they'd believe, then they wouldn't be troubled and confused as they clearly are at this point. Jesus actually just said to him and to the disciples, to see the Father, they need to look at Jesus. But for Philip, that wasn't enough. He wants more. He wants a deeper physical experience of God the Father. If he can have that, then it will be okay. You know, what Jesus said is okay. It's been amazing. What he's done has been extraordinary as far, but it's only gone so far. The icing on the cake would be to see God the Father. And in response to Philip's question, Jesus, in these verses, supplies the most detailed and succinct verses in the entire Bible about how we can have a genuine Christian experience. If you want a genuine experience of God, a deeper vision of God, then this is the place to find out how. What Jesus says here. Jesus' answer is actually very simple. And perhaps it feels a little too simple. We'd love a little bit more. We'd expect to experience God, you'd expect perhaps some kind of challenge or magical event. But the answer is to look at Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Speak to Jesus and love Jesus. That's how you have an experience of God. If you want your emotions to be lifted or heightened to a heightened state of dependence, of joy and assurance and satisfaction because you've experienced God, well, Jesus tells us how we can have that. It's simple, but brilliant. We don't actually need, which is very useful for us, we don't need a beautiful building to lead us into God's presence. We certainly don't need a priest at the front of church mediating between us and God, taking us into God's presence. We don't actually need someone tugging at our heartstrings so that we're brought into a heightened emotional state to feel that God is with us. It's simple. According to him here, we need to look at Jesus, listen to him, speak to him, and love him. Let's look through at those things, just mainly in the first paragraph. Firstly, look at Jesus. See what Jesus says in verse 9. Look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus, you see God walking on earth. Now, that's been the clear message of John's Gospel up to this point. We've been looking, if you've been with us, at John's Gospel since last September, repeatedly. The Word became flesh, God became flesh, Jesus is God, the whole way through. Jesus is God, born as a man. Philip, he'd been with him for 3 years, he'd heard his teaching, he'd seen what Jesus did, which is why Jesus starts with a rebuke in verse 9. Look down there. You know, Philip, you asked me this even after you've been with me for so long. He says, like, slapping his forehead almost, you can sense. But he probably didn't because he was perfect. Can you not see what I've been doing for 3 years, Philip? And you say, show us the Father. What have I just been saying to you? Philip wants to see God the Father. So Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. Philip had seen him raise the dead, walk on water, turn water into wine. What did he actually think he was seeing when Jesus did all of those things? He'd heard Jesus say on numerous occasions, I and the Father are one. If you want to see God the Father, look at Jesus, God the Son. So just ask yourself, whatever you're feeling in your Christian life, or if you're not a Christian, what are you looking for? Ask yourself if you're a Christian, is Jesus enough for you? Do you want more? If you want a first-hand experience of God, we need to look at Jesus. In fact, if you look anywhere else, you're not really seeing God. At best, you're seeing a blurred image or a shadow. It's definitely true, the Bible tells us this. You can look at creation, you can see a bit of creation. I wouldn't count this building, you know, trees. You can look at creation and you can marvel at God, at the magnificence of his creation. You see something of God. We can look at our loving relationships between each other and see aspects of God's character and delight in that. But those aren't clear pictures. They're a bit murky. They're slightly out of focus. If you want to see God face to face, if you want a crystal clear 8K HD TV picture of Jesus, the only way is to look at Jesus. Now, unlike Philip, we can't see Jesus. We can't see God walking on earth, the man Jesus. He's ascended to heaven. We can't do that. Philip could. But today, we see Jesus by looking at the eyewitness accounts recorded in the Bible. We're not really going to look at it, but verse 26, if you just look ahead, Jesus speaking to his apostles, he tells us, so that we're assured, but he's speaking there to the apostles, to tell them that the Holy Spirit ensured that the apostles remembered all that Jesus said and did so they could be his eyewitnesses. They could record his life so that we could have these eyewitness accounts, so we could read about God walking on earth, so that we could see Jesus as we read their testimony. As we look at Jesus as revealed in the Bible, we are looking at God. If you're investigating the reality or God, whether he exists, if you're seeking a genuine experience of the living God, it's that simple. Look at Jesus. Look at who he is. Look at what he said. Look at what he did. And work out what that means about who he is. There's a great Aussie song, and I will do it, Muffy, I'm sorry. A guy called Colin McCannon. He does a whole song about things Jesus is, and the chorus is always, only God could do that. That's true. Look at Jesus and see God. Now, if you're already a Christian and you're feeling God is remote, you're feeling a bit distant from him, it's a bit of a hard work, you can't see him clearly, there is only one antidote. Look at Jesus. Remind yourself about who he is. Remind yourself about what he's done for you. Remember the transformation about your identity that comes because you've seen Jesus. Jesus says to Philip and says to us, if only you'd open your eyes and see me, and you will see the Father. look at Jesus. Secondly, listen to Jesus, verses 10 and 11. Listen to Jesus. Look at verse 10 there. Again, a rebuke. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So again, Jesus rebukes Philip for his inability to see Jesus. And Jesus says that his words come with God the Father's full authority. He is speaking the words that God the Father has given him. But actually, Jesus claims here even more about his words. I thought about doing this because the Bible I was doing my prep form was slightly laid out differently to this one. But if you can, with your thumb or finger, or you might need two fingers because it goes across two lines, the end of verse 10, just try and obscure the last three words. I know it's a bit cheesy because you already know what those last three words are. But just try and obscure those last three words. You might need two fingers or your server sheet or something. And let me read that verse again. And then think what you'd expect the verse to finish as. So just imagine you didn't know what those words were. So Jesus said, verse 10, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is... dot, dot, dot. Now, surely you would expect it to say, it is the Father living in me who is giving me those words, which he said before. Now, remove your thumb and we'll read it again. It is the Father living in me who is... doing his work. That's a surprise. If you want to see God the Father at work, you listen to Jesus' words. Listen to Jesus and you see God working. That's a surprise. You don't expect that. We normally look for something more dramatic, something more visible, but God works through Jesus' words. We'd love to see God at work, wouldn't you? Think, oh yeah, I want to see God at work. Well, you can. You listen to Jesus, and that is how God works. The Christian life, it can feel so dry and dusty and sometimes a bit dull and academic. So often we'd like this new living experience of God. Our faith can sometimes feel like we're travelling through a dry and dusty land, as so much of the Old Testament describes it, in the Psalms and places like that. You know, desperate for a refreshing drink. My spiritual life, it's just hard work. I need refreshment. I need recuperation. I need support. How do we get this? Look at Jesus and listen to him. Jesus' words, God works through Jesus' words. It's true for me. Sometimes I feel like I'm a paid professional Christian because of the nature of my job. It feels like I'm going through the motions of the Christian life and I'm just producing what I have to do because it's my job. That's not a great emotional place to be. I know what the right thing to do is, so I can do it. But sometimes my heart doesn't feel that it's in it. The right thing that I know I should do feels like a chore rather than a joy and a delight. So the question is, but how do I rediscover the joy of my salvation, as David put it in Psalm 51, or the delight in my Christian identity? How do you rediscover that? Well, the answer, it sounds too simple. But to have a genuine experience of God, for God to work in me, I need to listen to his words. Listen to Jesus. Just, for example, just think about Jesus' words, okay? How did Jesus turn the water into wine? How did Jesus heal the official servant? How did Jesus feed 5,000 people? How did Jesus raise Lazarus to life? Jesus spoke. God worked through Jesus' words, in power through Jesus' words. And we hear Jesus' words when we read the Bible. And actually when we read all the Bible. When you're at home group, your home group, studying the Bible, God is at work. When you're on your own at home, or if you're doing a quiet time with your kids, or in the, whatever it is, when you open your Bible, God is at work. when we hear the Bible read, as we did earlier, when we sing words from Scripture, when we hear it being taught, God is at work. You know, there's roadwork signs saying, if you want to put the next one up, you know, warning, men at work. You know, you see those signs all the time. Well, I actually think we need a sign like this. Can you put the next one? Caution, God at work. When we open the Bible, God is at work. And it's a caution because actually God is powerful. So when you open your Bible, just be prepared that God is at work. Now that's a great thing, but just, you know, don't treat it lightly. Be excited. God works through the words of the Bible to us. Caution, God at work. The remedy to spiritual doubt, dryness, the antidote to feeling distant, God being distant and remote. It's God's word to us. Look at Jesus and see God. Listen to Jesus and experience God at work. Now that's impressive enough. That's pretty awesome already. But do you want to see even greater works than Jesus himself did? Well, we can do that. Verse 12, talk about Jesus. Look at verse 12. If you believe in Jesus, we're part of the whoever in that verse. So this verse is for us. If you believe in Jesus, you're part of the whoever. If we believe in Jesus, we'll not only do the works Jesus has been doing, but even greater things than these. That sounds bonkers, doesn't it? Think about Jesus. And we're being said we're going to do greater works than he did. Think about what he did. Think about what he said. We're doing greater things than that. Now, it's fair to say, and some of you may have experienced this before, this verse has many times been ripped out of context and used to justify all sorts of weird and wonderful things throughout church history. But in context, we already know what God the Father's work is. We just talked about that a minute ago. And actually in the whole of John's Gospel, particularly chapter 5 and the rest of the Bible, it's the words of Jesus that describe God's work. It's the words of Jesus that bring life. That's what Jesus' words do. Jesus came, as he told Peter's question at the start of chapter 14. Jesus came to open the way for us to heaven, to have life, eternal spiritual life. That's what you get if you look and listen to Jesus, you get life. And the greater works that we're going to do is to bring that message of life to the world. Because if Jesus stayed on earth, he'd be physically limited as one man. But his disciples multiplied and spread and told people. And now billions of people have looked at Jesus and listened to him. God has done a far greater work since Jesus ascended to heaven than he did when he was on earth. It's still Jesus working in that, just to clarify where this work is happening. But when Jesus ascended, he had 120 followers. There are approximately 2 billion people today, alive today, who are followers of Jesus. That's quite a greater work, isn't it? Through Christians talking about Jesus. We will do greater works than Jesus. And actually, we're not going to look at it, but that's what the answer to Judas's question from verse 22 is about. We haven't got time to look at them today, but they expand on this point about talking to the world about Jesus. Judas wants to know, Jesus, get me saying here about us, but I want my friends, my family to know about Jesus. Judas's question is actually a great question. And Jesus just tells Judas that if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you'll talk about Jesus and his death on the cross based on the witness of the apostles who saw it. And the result of doing that, Judas, he says, look at verse 31, is so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. It's the world will learn how to have a genuine experience of God as we talk about Jesus and his death on the cross. Talk about Jesus and do a greater work than Jesus himself did while he was on earth. And actually, that's the time, I know it's true for many of you, that I get most excited about my Christian faith, about God. I think I experience them in the deepest, most joyful way when I hear someone has come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. They've moved from death to life. But I'd be foolish, and we'd be foolish to think we can do that on our own. Jesus has told us what to do, let's go and do it without his help. I need Jesus' help. So to fully experience God, to have that deeper emotional connection with him, I need to speak to Jesus. Verses 13 and 14, speak to Jesus. Look there at verse 13. Again, a crazy verse. Jesus will delight in doing whatever we ask in his name. Whatever we ask in his name. Now, that doesn't mean we can go and ask for an Aston Martin and just add the words, in Jesus' name, like a superstitious ritual that it'll magically appear. As long as I say the words, in Jesus' name, it'll happen. Because the phrase, in Jesus' name, means in accord with his character and his purpose. You know, my name, Peter, means rock. Jesus' name means God saves. That's what his name means. So you pray in accord with Jesus' name, about God bringing salvation. It's about God's work of salvation. So if our prayers are, as Jesus puts it here in verse 13, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's glorified in the Son when people are saved in accord with Jesus' name. It's all about bringing people to faith when our prayers are here. That's when Jesus will do that work. That's when he'll act in accord with his name. That's when he'll answer our prayers definitively. We need to speak to Jesus, pray to him, ask him to do these greater works through us. And those greater works are about making Jesus' words known. And if someone listens to Jesus, they'll see Jesus. They'll belong to God the Father. They'll be in a relationship with him. This isn't complicated. This sounds like Christianity 101, but we don't do it. Are you feeling that God is remote and distant? Does the Christian life feel like a chore rather than a joy? Well, in his answer to Philip, Jesus tells us how to see God. If you want to experience a genuine experience of God, look at Jesus. Maybe ask yourself, has your focus drifted away from Jesus? Where does he feature in your life in the week ahead? Do you think about him at school or at work or at home? Or just when you gather here on a Sunday or with your home group? Yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you trust him. But does he impact your life day by day, hour by hour? Listen to Jesus. Are you regularly opening your Bible and expecting God to speak to you? I go through phases. I think when I do my quiet time, I'm doing it, but I'm not really engaging. Great, I've read that passage. That right, what's on next? God works through Jesus' words as we read the Bible. When you open the Bible, ask God to speak to you, because he will. Expect him to speak to you. And then in response, speak to him. Are you praying in accord with his name and his desires in response to what you've read in the Bible? There's no special technique or conference or process to follow. Conferences are great. Talking to other Christians about how you can enlighten them, they're fantastic. But that's stage two, if you like. To have a first up, genuine experience of the living God is as simple as looking, listening, and speaking to Jesus. We need to be reminded of that, however long or short we've been a Christian. And the question perhaps we're left with is, how do we know that experience is genuine? Well, verse 15, it's shown in our actions. If we love Jesus, keep my commands, he says. Love Jesus, keep his commands. Verses 15 to 21. If you love Jesus, you'll do what he says. You know you've seen God, you know you've experienced God, you know you've listened to God if you love Jesus. And you know you love Jesus by doing what he commands. And he puts it in the negative in verse 23. If you don't do what he commands, you don't love him. So if you ignore what Jesus says, well, I don't really like that bit, or I want this bit and I'll do this bit. Well, Jesus says you don't love him. We experience a loving relationship with God when we obey him. We don't obey him because we want to be in a loving relationship. We obey him because we're already in one. Now, on our own, of course, we'd never get this right. On our own, we are not capable of obeying God. Now, Jesus knew that. So he promises there, beautiful language, to send another advocate. An advocate is describes a counsellor, someone who will guide us, lead us, argue on our behalf, protect us. Jesus is our advocate, and he'll send us another one. Verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." God the Son will ask God the Father to give us God the Holy Spirit to be another advocate, to be with us. How do we experience God? Well, God the Holy Spirit dwells in us to make God known to us. Jesus dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. We know this. You could write an essay on it, but do you really recognize how deep and intimate and personal what Jesus is saying here? Look at verse 20. See how personal this is. Many times in John, and said again here, the Father and the Son, they perfectly mutually indwell each other. They've got this beautiful relationship. John 1 describes it as the kind of like the closest possible hug between a father and a son. It's deeply intimate, deeply personal. That's the relationship they have. And we get to join in. We're united with them. Look there, verse 20. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. Do you want to experience God? Well, he lives in you. When you look in the mirror, I don't look in the mirror very often, you can probably tell, but I do clean the teeth, so you know, when I look at the mirror's there, but some of you look at the mirror more often. But whenever, all of us at some point, we'll look in the mirror and see a reflection of ourselves. When you do that, say to yourself, God dwells in me. This evening when you clean your teeth, tomorrow morning when you clean your teeth, whatever it is, whenever you look in the mirror, God, tell yourself that God dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. You are actually seeing God because he lives in you. You belong to him. He dwells in you. He has made his home in you. We don't need a temple. The language here is the same language as when God dwelt in the temple. We, the tabernacle, the Old Testament language, is where God dwelt. That's what he does in us. He lives in us. How do you experience God? Look at Jesus, listen to Jesus, and he'll live in you through the Holy Spirit. So look at the mirror, tell yourself, God dwells in you. When we read the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit working in us to enable us to understand what God is saying. He's opening our eyes, he's motivating us to pray in accord with Jesus' name. He's showing us the truth, he's equipping us to experience God as we look at Jesus and listen to him. The Holy Spirit's like a torch. We don't look at, when you turn a torch on, you don't look at the torch, you look at what it's revealing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's a torch that reveals Jesus so that we would see God the Father. He's essential, he is God, he's personal, but he wants us to look at Jesus. God lives in you. He's taken up residence in you. When you see Jesus, you have God living in you. You actually can't get a closer, more spectacular experience of God than that. The problem we have is that we deny that. It's not that we need more of God. We need to trust him more. The problem's in us, not in him. He already dwells in us. He's not a volume you get a little bit more or less. He lives in you. Our problem is that we deny it. So trust him. Look at him. Listen to him. Speak to him. Talk about him. And experience God. Now, I realise there's a danger in every sermon you've ever heard. You're always told at the end to read the Bible more, pray more, and tell people about Jesus. And those are good things, rightly, to be reminded of. Too often, that's actually lazy preaching. Just thinking, I can't really be bothered to work out what those specific verses are saying and applying them specifically from there. But today isn't one of those days. Genuinely, today, Jesus is saying, read the Bible more, pray more, tell people about Jesus more. That's how you experience God. You don't need anything special or weird or challenging. It's so simple, it doesn't sound right, but it is what Jesus says here. Look at Jesus. listen to Jesus, talk about Jesus, speak to Jesus, and love Jesus. And we can do that because God, the Holy Spirit, has made his home in us. Let's spend a minute just thinking on our own, or possibly chatting to your neighbour, Ron, reflecting on what God says in these verses. Look back over them. And then we'll have a couple of minutes for questions after that. But just a few moments of silence or quiet chatting, if you like, about questions or thoughts, and just responding to God.